All right. Well, it's time for the Soulful Psalms, the segment of the show where we do a reflection on the Psalms. It's a fair telachim, or the book of sung praises, which we sing at every holy sacrifice of the Mass after the first reading. And remember, this segment of the show, the Soulful Psalms, are now its own podcast. Yes, you can go to EWTN Podcast Central or to one of your favorite podcast outlets, Apple or SoundCloud, and you can listen to all of the segments of the Soulful Psalms as its own podcast. Outstanding. So today, we're looking at Psalm 139, of course, in Book 5 of the Psalms. And this psalm is very long, so we looked at earlier the first 12 verses. Now we're going to look at verses 13 through 24. So that's Psalm 139, verses 13 to 24. And of course, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey and approved for use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Now, the prescript of this psalm says, very simply, for the choir master of David, a psalm. Very simple. And again, we start at verse 13. For it was you who formed my inmost being, knit me together in my mother's womb. Whoa, here we go. See, we have people in the world that believe that a child in the womb is just a virus or a parasite or a blob of tissue and not a human being made in God's image and likeness. But this section of Psalm 139, Reflection of King David, shows us very clearly that nothing could be further from the truth. Acknowledging that it is God, the Lord God, who formed my inmost being, not just my physical nature, but everything that I am was formed by God. Knit me together in my mother's womb. I thank you who wonderfully made me. How wonderful are your works, which my soul knows well. Well, David's going deep here. You know, he's reflecting back from the beginning of his existence, seeing God's hand in every aspect of his life, from the time from the womb to the time to the tomb. David's reflecting back and seeing how God's hand is working in his life, even when he was in his mother's womb as an embryo, as a human being, as a person made in God's image and likeness. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was being fashioned in secret and molded in the depths of the earth. Right? So a beautiful little play analogy going back to the Genesis chapter 2, where man is formed from the dirt, dust, or soil, Adama in Hebrew. So Adam comes from the Adama, the dirt, dust, or soil, being formed by God, and comparing that to being formed in the womb of our mothers. Right? The beautiful idea of being molded in the depths of the earth and shaped by God's hands, even from the womb. And it continues. Just, I love this. Such a beautiful reflection on life. Your eyes saw me yet unformed. All my days are recorded in your book, formed before one of them came into being. What? God knows everything about us. There's nothing we can hide from God. Before he formed us in the womb, he knew us. Yalda. He knew us deeply, personally, intimately. He experienced us. Even as we were being formed in the womb, he knew us deeply, personally, intimately. There's not one life that's worthless. There's not one life that's lost. No matter what state that person is in the womb, they are a person made in God's image and likeness, precious in God's eyes, and faithful. To God, God is faithful to his promise to bring forth life. And such a beautiful reflection here in Psalm 139.
You know, and I love this passage because anytime I hear someone say, well, God doesn't care about my problems, or he doesn't care what what I've been through, or doesn't understand me. And this is undisputable. Like, you can't read this and argue otherwise. And they go, I, you know, it's like, look, he knew what you were going to face before you faced it. Now he just wants you to trust him as you walk through that. So that's such a beautiful passage.
It is. And the beautiful thing about this, too, is not about politics. You know, this is not about abortion or anything like that. This is a life and death issue that's become politicized.
Yeah,
we have to step back out of all that politics. Just look at what God is saying through the creation of human beings. Amen. You know, and it continues verse 17. To me, how precious your thoughts, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I count them, they are more than the sand. At the end, I am still at your side. Wow, look at that. So no matter, just what Ace was saying, no matter what we're going through in our life, at the end, God willing, we are still at his side. Because there is nothing that happens in this world that can separate us from God's love, that can separate us from God's life. Right? That's the point that David is making. It continues, verse 19. Oh God, that you would slay the wicked. The men of blood would depart from me. With deceit, they rebel against you and set your designs at naught. So now David's addressing the fact that there's going to be people that are going to come on the scene that are going to try to destroy our relationship with God. That we have to be aware that this is going to happen. We have to stand strong and firm. That's why the March for Life and events like that are so important. We have to stand up for the most vulnerable who cannot speak for themselves. And then David goes on reflecting on this. Do I not hate those who hate you? Abhor those who rise against you? I hate them with a perfect hate, and they are foes to me. Okay? Seems a little vicious here. And I believe that in the other version of the psalm, the previous version, that these verses were eliminated from here because it talks about hating and things like that. But what he's saying, he's aligning himself with God's will. What you love, Lord, I love. What you hate, again, we have to use human language because God doesn't hate. But sometimes we use human language to express a reality. And that's what David's doing here. Of course, God doesn't hate. God doesn't have emotions. But don't I hate those? In other words, my will is aligned with your will. The things that you are against, Lord, I am against. The things that you love, Lord, I myself love. That's his point. That's his point, to always be aligned with God's love. And then finally, he ends beautifully here. Oh, search me, God, and know my heart. Right? Isn't that's what I pray for. Search me, God. Look. Even though I may be acting in a certain way or committing a sin, you know, deep in my heart, Lord, you know how much I love you. Even though my actions don't always show forth, you know, my actions don't show forth my words, know that I love you with all my heart. Oh, test me and know my thoughts. See that my path is not wicked, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, beautiful.
Well, and if you're new to prayer or you're new to your faith, these last two verses is the perfect prayer for you right now. Because no matter what you're facing, you're asking for God to search your own motives and to line them with God and to, you know, put you in a place where you understand him better and that he does love you. And when you don't know what to pray, this is always the perfect way and the perfect words to ask for his help.
Exactly. You know, and that last line, verse 24, see that my path is not wicked. Mm. It almost sounds like apart from the Our Father, right? Lead us not into temptation.
Right.
Right. We're not asking God to, you know, lead us into temptation. Like, God, don't do that. No. Don't allow us to be tempted, right? Beyond that. That's what we're saying. That's what he's saying here. Is that, see, Lord, help me to stay in your path, not in the path of the world, not in the path of woke, not in the path of doing what everyone else does, of being like the world, of thinking like the world, of acting like the world. See that I not stray from your path, Lord, and lead me in the way everlasting. In fact, that was a line for a song. I remember as a kid that I think actually the song was based on this psalm. And the last line of the song was, and lead me in ways everlasting. I mean, I'm sure some people remember that song. Gosh, I can't remember the name of it right now. But when I pray that last line of the psalm, it always brings me back. See, music is always tied into this, right?
Right.
Because music has a way of bringing you back to a certain time or a certain place or a certain prayer or a certain attitude that you had. You know, and that's why I love sometimes praying the psalms, because praying certain psalms and certain verses brings you back to a time in your life
mm-hmm.
where you were praying the psalm and it meant something to you. And you were like, wow, okay, I remember that. You know, and I wish I had that same passion again, the Lord to stir up my heart so I could be invigorated by the power of his love. Awesome.
And it's a narrow path, so that's another reason to pray, to stay on that path, because it's very narrow.
That's right. And Jesus says that very few will find it. The path to heaven is narrow.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.